ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 7th chapter, verses 15 to 42. Vidura said, O powerful sage, my lord, all my doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them. So Vidura asked three questions of Maitreya. His first question was about Krishna's dealings with the material world. Is Krishna entangled? Is he covered? What was the answer to that question? Did Maitreya give an answer? Actually, even if he didn't, you can tell me the answer. Srila Prabhupada gave the answer. Yes. Srila Prabhupada gave the answer. Krishna has nothing to do with this world. He simply creates for the satisfaction of the jivas. They want this world. He doesn't need it. So then the second question, how does the pure living entity become contaminated? How does he become impure? And how can he suffer when the super soul is right there with him in the heart? How can he suffer? So the answer to that was that the living entities are sleeping. They're dreaming, just like you have a dream where you're head is cut off, and you see your head cut off, hanging on the wall. So, another example, the moon reflected on the water. So when the moon is reflected on the water, then the reflection of the moon quivers. So the living entity, when he identifies with Maya, with matter, then he quivers with anger, with lust, with so many things. And he experiences the misery of the ever-changing material world. So, devotional service is the only solution for these miseries. Maitreya concludes, because matter will always change. You can't stop it. But even when you perform devotional service, still Prabhupada made the point that it's not that you can stop the water from quivering. The water will always quiver, but you remain unaffected by it. So that's what happens when we realize that we're servant of Krishna. And we don't identify with what's happening around us, but we identify with Krishna. Or in another sense, we identify that everything that's happening around us is the mercy of Krishna. We see it in relationship with Krishna. So as the world changes, as it's destroyed, as it's created, we are unaffected because we're fixed on meditation on the Lord within. And this is explained in Bhagavad Gita, this samadhi in the 6th chapter, that one who has this samadhi, he is not disturbed by any great disturbance. And he rejoices in the self. He never departs from the truth. And he's never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. And so this is what was being described by Maitreya yesterday. He said when the senses are satisfied and merge into the super soul, then all the miseries are completely vanquished, just like when you wake up from a dream or a nightmare, actually. So then his conclusion was, Ashesha Sanklesha Shamam Vitate Gunanuvara Shavanam Murare, that all the unlimited miseries can be finished at once when you're chanting and hearing about Murari. And by this chanting, this leads you also to attraction to serving Krishna's lotus feet, Paraga Seva Ratir Atma Labha. So now we're going to hear how Vidura was satisfied by Maitreya's answers. And he confirms that the soul's miseries are due only to his connection with Maya. And he also glorifies the process of inquiring from and serving a spiritual master. So here in the beginning of the purport of 15, Srila Prabhupada says, the science of Krishna, or the science of God and the living entities, is so subtle that even a personality like Vidura has to consult persons like the sage Maitreya. So this is a point that Prabhupada's making now. He'll reiterate this point later on, and we can discuss it later on, that what is the necessity of consulting superiors like a spiritual master. So verse 16, O learned sage, your explanations are very good, as they should be. Disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord. So we'll see who read the purport today. Prabhupada explains what is the root cause of our bondage in this material world. Sankirtan. Desire to be the Lord. To become one with the Lord in every respect, Prabhupada says. We want to be Krishna in every respect. We're not satisfied with just being ourselves, who we are, servant of Krishna. In every respect, we want his opulences, we want to control like him. So this is the root cause of the entire material world. Just this little desire that we have. Unlawful desire, Prabhupada says. Unlawful. It's against the law. So, for otherwise, Prabhupada says, the Lord has no need to create such a manifestation, even for his pastimes. So it's for us, so we can act out all our dreams. All our dreams can come true in this material world. So verse 17, a very profound statement here by Vidura. Both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness, whereas persons between them suffer the material pangs. So you ask someone, are you happy? Then he must be in one of these two categories. Either he's a fool or else he's a Paramahansa. Because everyone's miserable in this world. There's always something to complain about, if you think about it. Of course, devotees, they accept everything as Krishna's mercy. So therefore, they're Paramahansas. They're happy, actually. They're satisfied. Mode of goodness. But otherwise, if you're not a fool and you're not a Paramahansa, then you have to suffer miserably in this world, and you feel it. So Prabhupada says, the lowest of fools do not understand material miseries. They pass their lives merrily and do not inquire into the miseries of life. So what is it that makes them feel that they're happy in this world? What is it that makes them deluded like this? What is that thing? What is the state of consciousness? Marangopa. They have no sense of responsibility. But what causes them to be happy? Yeah. It work very hard. That doesn't sound like sex life. Yeah, sex life. Okay. Yes. Illusion. Yes. Illusion. Yes. Without responsibility, like the animals. No cares. Whatever happens, it's all right. Yes, Prashanta. They don't have a higher standard of happiness, Nishinga. Yes, they don't know about the same thing, higher happiness. Yes. They don't even know they're suffering. They don't even have a sense of miseries. So the angle I got on this was that they're intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, then you don't feel the miseries. And so their intoxication is sex life. Their intoxication is youth, especially the youth. You see this intoxication. Wealth, Janmaishraya, Shuta. Even if they don't have wealth, they don't have beauty, they don't have knowledge, they have youth. Everybody has youth. And youth, you're very intoxicated. You think you can do anything. Just like my son yesterday, he spent 2 hours building a house, how he was going to make so much money going to America and building a house, and he was decorating the whole house and everything, intoxicated by youth. You know, he has no money, he doesn't even have, you know, but here he is building a house. So he's thinking, yes, I'm young, I can do anything, I can just go and make money. And so this is the delusion, illusion of the material world. Prabhupada says, such persons are almost on the level of animals, who although in the eyes of superiors are always miserable in life, are unaware of material distresses. Another intoxication is TV. There's so many things that they use, and people don't realize it's an intoxication, actually. I heard one story of one family in London. A sannyasi went to visit this family, and they were all sitting around completely morose. And he said, what happened? Did somebody die? And they said, no, TV is broken. They didn't know what to do with their lives because the TV was gone. It was the center of their life, actually. The social life, everything the TV is giving you. As my son says, when the movies he watches, you get instant dreams. You don't have to make your own dreams. You just push the button, you get instant dreams. So this is what they're looking for, this kind of forgetful. They want to forget their misery somehow or other. So then they have instant dreams. They have a TV that takes them so many places, takes their minds away. But their life is very degraded. Prabhupada says, a hog's life is degraded in its standard of happiness, which entails living in a filthy place, engaging in sex enjoyment at every opportune moment, and laboring hard in a struggle for existence, but this is unknown to the hog. We see in Vrindavan this graphic example of the hogs. They seem very happy, actually. They're oblivious to their place of residence. That we would never desire to live like the hog, because we have a higher taste. So what Prabhupada says, similarly, human beings who are unaware of the miseries of material existence and are happy in sex life and hard labor are the lowest of fools. What is Prabhupada, or not Prabhupada, what is Krishna called him in Bhagavad Gita? Mudha, mudha. Prabhupada says so many times, mudha. Yes. Mudhatama. Here it's mudhatama. Oh boy. Again, the best of fools, yes? Mudhatama. Okay. The lowest of fools. Mudhatama. Is it the highest of fools or the lowest of fools? The highest of fools. The lowest of fools. Yes. Okay, so this is what it means to live in the material world. Because they have no sense of miseries, they supposedly enjoy so-called happiness. Now, we're talking about the Paramahansas, the other class of men. Those who are liberated and are situated in the transcendental position above intelligence are really happy and are called Paramahansas. But persons who are neither like hogs and dogs nor on the level of Paramahansas feel the material pangs. And for them, inquiry about the Supreme Truth is necessary. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you've got this human form of life, ato. Therefore, now that you have this human form of life, you should inquire, why am I suffering? So this distinguishes the human being from the animals, if somebody asks this question. Verse 18. Now Vidura is speaking. But, my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real. I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea. What's the analogy that we can think of that comes to your mind when you think that the material world is without substance, it's unreal? Mirage. Mirage in the desert. Mirage, you see the water ahead of you, and you keep going and keep going, but it always remains out of reach. So happiness in this material world is right in front of us, but it's just always out of reach. That's just the promise of happiness. And even if you get that thing you always desired, you realize, actually, it's not much happiness in it. So this is the nature of the material world, and Vidura is very grateful to Maitreya for him giving him this knowledge, enlightening him. Verse 19. And he feels that if he can just somehow serve Maitreya, then he'll give up fully this misconception that there is happiness in this world. Verse 19. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. So, in the memories of Srila Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Sudama, he was remembering one experience he had with Srila Prabhupada, that he walked into Prabhupada's room, and there was an effulgence, a purple, golden effulgence in the room. And Prabhupada was crying and crying and crying. And so Sudama, he didn't know what to do. He just walked in. And then Prabhupada spoke to him. And Srila Prabhupada said, my spiritual master is so kind. He's allowing me to see Krishna. So this is by the mercy of the spiritual master, by serving the lotus feet. Prabhupada is showing us that actually by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master, you can actually see Krishna face to face. So Prabhupada himself never gave himself any credit. He always thought this is due to the mercy of a spiritual master. So we learn the attitude here of the disciple from Vidura, that he is giving all credit to Maitreya. And he's feeling that if I could simply somehow or other serve you, then everything will be all right. Here it says, Yat Sevaya Bhagavata. Now what does that remind you of? A verse in the first canto? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Verse 16. And what's the other one? Yashta Praesha Vadeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Same words, Bhagavata Sevaya. Here it says Sevaya Bhagavata. And there is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So by serving the Bhagavatas, you get Nashta Praesha Vadeshu. All the inauspicious things in your heart become reduced. And also, Vidura himself said, no, Maitreya said, Paraga Seva Ritir Atma Labdha, in that last verse that we heard yesterday. Verse 19. Now we're going to hear the qualifications for getting the association of, or the service of the pure devotees. And also, who are those pure devotees? Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees, who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of God, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. So Prabhupada says in the beginning of the purport, association of a bona fide spiritual master like the sage Maitreya can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service. Oh, am I in the wrong purport? Sorry. Oh, I read the wrong... Did I read the wrong verse? This is verse 20, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. By serving the feet. Yeah, okay, wrong. Actually, I meant verse 19. Let's read verse 19. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy. I read that verse, yeah. In the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. So actually, I meant to read this purport here. The association of a bona fide spiritual master, like the sage Maitreya, can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The Lord is the enemy of the Madhu demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the suffering of his pure devotees. So yes, this purport is very wonderful. Rati Rasa. This is purport of 19. Yes. Rati Rasa. So that was related to that verse, Paraga Rasa, the flavor of the dust of the lotus feet. If we serve the flavor of the dust of the lotus feet, then we get relationship with Krishna in different rasas. So Krishna, he's ready to deliver us. He's the enemy of our sufferings. But what is the actual process of deliverance that is given by Krishna? What do we have to do to become delivered by the enemy of the Madhu demon? Yes, serve the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Take shelter of the pure devotee. Actually, if all through Bhagavatam, if you study the lives of the great devotees, you will see that this is their desire. Sometimes they say birth after birth, let me have this benediction. What did Parikshit say in his prayers to the sages? He was saying, in my next life, I only want three things. Yes, you remember. Friendly relationship with all living entities. Association with devotees. And service. Yes, love for the Supreme Lord. So this is the highest benediction. Maharaj Pratyabharuja, he showed us that also. He taught us that by his life. His life was a symbol of service. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to see him. And then after he served, he pleased Ramananda Roy, then he was allowed to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that pastime is there in Madhya Lila 14th chapter, that during the Rathiatra ceremony, Lord Chaitanya was resting in a garden. And at that time, Maharaj Pratyabharuja walked in the dress of a Vaishnava. And he began massaging Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and singing verse from Bhagavatam, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam. And then Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He said, "Who are you?" And what did he say? He said, "Ami tomar dasher anudash britya britya koro e moro ash." He says, "I am just your servant of your servant, and my desire is to be the servant of your servant." So this is the greatest achievement. Prabhupada says the greatest achievement in this purport to Madhya Lila for a devotee is to become a servant of the servants of the Lord. Actually, no one should desire to become direct servant of the Lord. That is not a very good idea. So many people have that desire. But actually, Prabhupada said that's not such a good idea. We should desire to be servant of the servant. So when Prahlad Maharaj was offered benediction from Nrisingadev, what did he ask? What did he desire? What was his reply, Maivanpuri?
"Please, liberate my father."
"Please liberate my father." And what else?
"Service."
Yes, yeah, service. He said, because he was saying, "Okay, I'll give you this, I'll give you material, I'll give you spiritual liberation." And he said, "Actually, Narada Muni saved me, so how can I give up his service?" He says, I was falling into this dark well of material desires, and he saved me, so how can I leave his service? The same thing when Dhruva wanted a kingdom, such an opulent kingdom. And then he was face to face with Kuvera, who was the demigod in charge of the treasury. And Kuvera was saying, "Whatever you want, I'll give you." And what did he say? "Just let me be servant of the servant of the Lord." He asked that. So another one. This is Dhruva Maharaj. This is all in the purport, Madhya 14:17. And Kolavecha Sridhar, same thing. When Lord Chaitanya asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "I just want to be servant of the servant." So here Vidura is expressing this mood of the devotee, that he just wants to be servant of the servant. So I already read verse 20, but I'll read it again. That persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of God, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and controller of all living entities. Purport, Prabhupada says, "The path of liberation is recommended by all authorities is to serve the Mahatma transcendentalist. Where does it say this in Bhagavatam? Matsevam dwara mahur vimuktes. 552. So, who are the, according to Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada's quoting, paraphrasing Bhagavad Gita in this purport, who are the Mahatmas? Daivam Prakritim Ashitaha. Yes, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. They're always chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, they always chant and hear the glories of the Lord rather than talk of dry, profitless philosophy. This system of association has been recommended since time immemorial, so it's nothing new. But in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it is especially recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what happens if you don't have any, if you don't have any austerity, you can't get the service of the pure devotees. So what about those poor souls who have no austerity? Yes. Srila Prabhupada created our austerities and our past pious activities. Srimati? Yes. And that's exactly what we did. We had no austerities, obviously, in the West. We didn't even think why the need for austerity. What is the use? What is the need of austerity? Didn't at all figure in our goal of life. But Prabhupada, we took shelter of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, even if one has no assets of favorable austerity, if he nevertheless takes shelter of the Mahatmas who are engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, he is sure to make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. So that is our wealth, that is our austerity, that is our yajna, that is our knowledge. Simply that we took shelter of the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So it's open to everyone. Everyone in this material, who has austerity? Who has qualification to be a pure devotee in this world? Yes. Yeah, that's because we took shelter of the pure devotee. Before that, we wouldn't have done anything. We were just thinking of having a comfortable life. But yes, if you take, of course, when you take shelter of the pure devotee, you have to be prepared to do austerity too. Then you actually do the austerities. It was a fact. We all were, actually, there was no opulence when we joined. There was no money. There were no big temples. We had to build them if we wanted temples. Yes. Yes, if you're not willing, then you can be satisfied with remaining in this world for some lifetimes. And yes, prasadam, that will help you if you do it in the proper mentality. Yes?
There seems to be another austerity that's called for me, which is the selfish state of being. It's that we have to be chaste.
Chaste.
To happiness. Yeah. That's the austerity that's called for.
Yeah. So if you're simply, if you just do one austerity, you remain chaste to Srila Prabhupada's mood, to Prabhupada's mood and to his movement, then you can also, you get the benefit of association. So here, here austerity. One is austerity. Okay, let's look at the Sanskrit. What does it say in the Sanskrit? Alpa tapasa. One whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the Lord. So Prabhupada in the purport says, even if one has no assets of favorable austerity. So assets means, when we think of assets, then we think of pious activity in the past. So three kinds of pious activity, material, for liberation, and for devotion. So even this means that even if in the past we did not perform any devotional service or we did not perform great sacrifices or anything like that, if we simply take shelter of the spiritual master, that's what it seems that Prabhupada is saying here, meaning of austerity here, that we didn't do anything to deserve it. Even if you didn't do anything to deserve spiritual life, if you just take shelter of the pure devotee. There's stories of people ripping up the books before they became devotees, and obviously, they didn't seem to have favorable austerities. What's that? Yeah, Agyata Sukriti, touching the book. Well, unfavorable, like Kamsa. So it's still happening today, even today. Actually, that's true, because one time there was a very unfavorable newspaper article, and they brought it to the attention of Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada just asked, well, did they mention the name Krishna? How many times? And they said, many times. So, okay, no problem. He said, this is good. He says, they will become purified just by seeing the name Krishna. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also used to ask, if someone wrote an article, how many times is Krishna's name there? So even if it's unfavorable, they will get some benefit. Any way you come in contact with Hare Krishna, it's for your benefit. So, but the point is that we have to be very serious, as you were making the comment, that you must be chaste. And we see that there's many opportunities, especially here in Vrindavan, to go to many other different places where you think the nectar is here, the nectar is there. But actually, unless you're faithful, then you will not please Krishna. When I was in Mayapur, Jananivas Prabhu was giving a lecture, and he was saying that in the spiritual world they also see if you've been chaste, and they won't accept you if you haven't been chaste to your spiritual master. They'll see if you've gone this side, that side, then how can they trust you? You have to be chaste and faithful to your spiritual master, to his mood also, his preaching mood. His mood is preaching. So, Prabhupada explained in one purport, this is in 4:30-35, the Sankirtan movement started by the Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for creating Vaikuntha, the transcendental world without anxiety, even in this material world. The method is the propagation of Shravanam Kirtam process throughout the world. So this is Prabhupada's mission, that he wanted to propagate this chanting of the holy name. And if we take shelter of him, then we can live in Vaikuntha, actually, even if we're in this material world. So we'll go on to the next verses. 21. After creating the total material energy, the mahatattva, and thereby manifesting the gigantic uterus of form with senses and sense organs, the Supreme Lord entered within it. So here is a review by Vidura, a very quick review in about 2 verses or 3 verses. We're having a review of everything we heard in the last 2 weeks on creation. After creating the mahatattva, universal form came out with senses and sense organs. The Supreme Lord entered into it. Verse 22. The Purusha incarnation lying on the causal ocean is called the original Purusha in the material creations. And in his Virat form, in whom all the planets and their inhabitants live, he has many thousands of legs and hands. So, this verse and this purport are just to make us understand that these Vishnus are all one. So here he's saying, in the verse he's saying, Virat Rupa is coming from Mahavishnu. And then we heard before, Virat Rupa is coming from Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And now in this purport, we're going to hear something else to make you thoroughly confused. Purport. The first Purusha is Karadakshay Vishnu. The second Purusha is Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And the third Purusha is Kiradakshay Vishnu, in whom is contemplated the Virat Purusha, a gigantic form in which all the planets with their different developments and inhabitants are floating. So just so we can understand that it doesn't matter which Vishnu we're thinking of, that they're all the same and they have different functions, that's all. But Virapurusha is, you can say that it's coming from any one of them, actually. As you see here, the verse and the purport are saying something different, almost. And verse 23. What's that? Yeah, they're all together. They're nested, as Madhavendra Puri says. Verse 23. O great Brahmana, you have told me the gigantic Virat form and his senses, sense objects, and 10 kinds of life air exist with 3 kinds of life vigor. Now, if you will, kindly explain to me the different powers of the specific divisions. So now he's heard about Sarga. He wants to hear more specific knowledge, and that is Visarga. That is, Sarga goes up until the birth of Lord Brahma, when Brahma comes out of the lotus flower. That is Sarga. And now Vidura wants to hear what happens next. Actually, after Sarga must come Visarga. More specific knowledge. How does this Vishwarupa practically manifest in this cosmic manifestation? How do we actually see it before our eyes? So this is his next question. How did it happen? How did the Visarga happen? Verse 24. And then he'll go into great detail about everything he wants to hear about. Oh, my Lord, I think that the prowess manifest in the forms of sons, grandsons, and family members has spread all over the universe in different varieties and species. O learned Brahmana, please describe how the leader of all the demigods, namely Prajapati Brahma, decided to establish the various Manus, the heads of the ages. Please describe the Manus also, and please describe the descendants of those Manus. So he wants to hear about all these things. This is specific knowledge. As he said in verse 23, Tad Vibhuti. These are the Vibhutis of the Lord. Where did we hear about Vibhutis? In Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, right, Vibhuti Yoga. So now he wants to hear about all these different Vibhutis, and he's starting to list some of these Vibhutis. In the first canto, 3rd chapter, 5th verse, Prabhupada explains what is the difference between incarnations and Vibhutis. He says that some incarnations are directly empowered, some are indirectly empowered. When they are directly empowered, they are called incarnations. When they are indirectly empowered, they are called vibhutis. Examples of directly empowered are Kumaras, Narada, Prithu, Shesha, Ananta. And also in the first canto, 3rd verse, 27th chapter, who are these vibhutis? The same thing that Vidura is asking about. He says, all the rishis, manus, demigods, descendants of Manu, who are especially powerful, are plenary portions, or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the Prajapatis. Prabhupada explains, those who are comparatively less powerful are called vibhuti. Those who are comparatively more powerful are called avish, incarnations. And another purport in 6.4.45, Prabhupada expands the definition of vibhuti. Srila Prabhupada says, from Lord Brahma down, all the living entities engaged in the service of the Lord are extraordinary and are called vibhutis. So all the devotees are vibhutis, Srila Prabhupada says. So we should appreciate the devotees very much. They're all vibhutis. They're all very extraordinary servants of the Lord. So these are some of the examples or the explanations of what is vibhuti. And now Vidura is very curious to hear about all these vibhutis of the Lord. So where in the Bhagavatam are these manus described? Which cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam? Eighth? Ninth? Where else? Three? Six? Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Manvantaras. Yes. 3 to 9. The manus are described. So we'll see all these questions. Let's see if you know where they're described. Verse 26. So, son of Mitra, kindly describe how the planets are situated above the earth as well as underneath it. And also, please mention their measurement as well as that of the earthly planets. So where is this described? Third canto? Fifth canto, yes. Also third canto, we're going to hear about time in chapter 11. We'll hear about time. And the time, measurement of time in all the different planets. Verse 27. Also please describe the living beings under different classifications. Subhumans, humans, those born of the embryo, those born of perspiration, those who are twice born, birds, and the plants and vegetables. Kani described their generations and subdivisions also. Why are the birds called twice born? I think I read it somewhere, but I forgot. From the egg is their first birth? Or is there second? Oh, I see, okay. First the egg comes and then they come. Okay, two births. So we're also supposed to have two births. Where is all this described about all these living entities? The animals, humans, four kinds. This is actually in Canto 3. Chapter 10, Chapter 12, Kapiladev's teachings, also Canto 6. Especially in Canto 3, we're going to hear about all these different living entities being born. Also in Canto 6, with the when the daughters of Daksha get married and have children, then they will be the mothers of all these different kinds of children. Verse 28. Please also describe the incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. And please describe the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His magnanimous activities. So now he's asking about Brahma and Vishnu. Brahma and Vishnu we hear about in which cantos? Second? Third? Second and third. And where do we hear about Shiva? Fourth and? Nine? I don't know about nine. Before nine. Eight. Eighth canto. Also 12th canto. He's destroying the world. Finally, he gets to do his service. Finally. He's been waiting so long since third canto. He has to wait till 12th canto to really get into it. Okay. Verse 29. O great sage, kindly describe the divisions and orders of human society in terms of symptoms, behavior, and characteristics of mental equilibrium and sense control. Also, please describe the births of the great sages and categorical divisions of the Vedas. And where is this described? 12, 7 especially. And the births of the sages, that's in the third canto. We'll hear about that in chapter 12. Okay, verse 30. Please also describe the expansions of different sacrifices and the paths of mystic powers, analytical study of knowledge, and devotional service, all with their respective regulations. So now this Sanskrit is important here. Tantram va Bhagavat Smritam. Is that 30? Yeah, it's the last line of 30. So beginning of the purport, Prabhupada says, the word tantram is significant herein. Sometimes tantram is misunderstood to be the black spiritual science of materialistic persons engaged in sense gratification. But here, tantra means the science of devotional service compiled by Srila Narada Muni. And what is that science called by Narada Muni? What is that tantra? Yes, Narada Panchatra. Narada Panchatra. This is explained in 138, where the list of incarnations are given. It says, tantram sattvata achasta naishkarmyam karmanam vataha. That Narada collected expositions of the Vedas which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. So tantra means expand. So he expanded the Vedas, the parts which deal with devotional service, into Narada Pancharatra. So it's very significant for us because in this, according to the Vedas, only a Brahmin can study the Vedas. And of course, nowadays they take only if you're born a Brahmin. Can you study the Vedas? So we're not born Brahmins, so what to do? So therefore, in this age of Kali, we have the Smriti, we have the Bhagavad Gita, we have Mahabharata, we have the Puranas, and this is available for everyone. This is for us. And we have Narada Pancharatra, Pancharachiki, Viti. So sentence two in the purport, one can take advantage of such regulative explanations of the path of devotional service and make progressive advancement in devotional service of the Lord. So these are for us. Now, Prabhupada talks about Sankhya philosophy also. And so this will also be explained in Kapila Dev, this teachings here about different sacrifices, paths of mystic powers. All these different paths will also be explained in Kapila Dev's teachings. And also in Canto 11, this will be described. This is verse 30. Verse 30 will be described Canto 11 and in Kapilade's teachings. Verse 30. Now we're in verse 31. Please also describe the imperfections and contradictions of the faithless atheists, the situation of crossbreeding, and the movements of the living entities in various species of life according to their particular modes of nature and work. So crossbreeding, we'll hear about in Canto 7. Movements of the living entities, where do we hear about that? Three, yes, Kapila Dev. 11, okay. Verse 32. You may also describe the non-contradictory causes of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. And also the different means of livelihood and different processes of law and order, as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Now this is very interesting because in the second verse of Bhagavatam, we're kicking out all these things. And now Vyasa is asking about dharma artha kama moksha. It says dharma projita kaito vatra. This is kicked out from Bhagavatam. So how can Vyasa dare to ask these questions about dharma artha kama and moksha? Shrimati? Okay. Non-contradictory. That's the main clause here. There is a clause, non-contradictory. Prashanta? Okay, we heard, yes. Dharmasya hyapavargasya. We heard in the first canto. Yes, Bhagavad Dharma. Dharma means Bhagavad Dharma. Savai pungsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir. So, again, he's asking if it's in relationship to Krishna. It must be in relation. It should be non-contradictory to Krishna consciousness. It should be in line with Krishna. Divyambar. Okay, we will hear now the explanation of Gopi Pranadana Prabhu.
Because just now,
Okay, the... What does non-contradictory mean? Yes. So she's a translator, so she couldn't understand how to translate this into Bulgarian, right? So therefore you ask Gopi Pranadana. Okay, so he's saying that he's asking how to pursue Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha without contradicting each other, each goal. There are four different goals. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So how can you pursue these without contradicting each other? And bringing to the highest goal, prema. So that was his explanation. Also how to bring to the highest goal of prema. A very, yes, confusing verse. So thank you for that explanation. And I have a little comment by Burijan from his lecture, because I also didn't understand this non-contradictory causes. So he's saying if you want to act in a religious way, your actions should not bring contradictory results. So that was his comment. You should not bring contradictory results if you want to act in a religious way. So there we have different angles of vision here on this question by Vidura. Verse 33. Please also explain the regulations for offering respects to the forefathers, the creation of Pitriloka, the time schedule in the planets, stars, and luminaries, and their respective situations. So this is, again, Canto 5, and also the 11th chapter of this canto. Verse 34. Please also describe the fruitive results of charity and penance and of digging reservoirs of water. Please describe the situation of persons who are away from home, and also the duty of a man in an awkward position. Yes, in danger. Duty of a man in danger. This will be described in Canto 7. What to do in an emergency. And this is very relevant for us, because Kali Yuga is an emergency situation. The whole world is on fire. So if Prabhupada had waited for Brahmins to come forward, born Brahmins, the fire would not have been put out. So therefore, duties in an emergency is described actually in the seventh canto, that in an emergency situation, then persons of lower caste can take the position of Brahmins. So this is what actually happened, that an emergency situation is present at the present time in this world. And therefore, everyone, no matter what his birth, has to join together and push on this movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was Srila Prabhupada's vision. So we'll read more about this when we get to, a few years later, we get to Canto 7. I'm just giving you a preview. I don't have the exact, it just came to my mind, but I don't know the exact verse. Remember reading it. Yeah, because it talks about duties in an emergency. Verse 35. O sinless one, because the personality of Godhead, the controller of all living entities, is the father of all religion and all those who are candidates for religious activities, kindly describe how he can be completely satisfied. Haribo. So this is the ultimate question. How to satisfy the Lord. Yes. We need some oil. What's that? Said we should sing for the dying fan. Don't worry, he'll get some life soon, hopefully. This is how our karma runs out. With painful. Generator! Okay. Verse 36. How to satisfy the Lord was 35. O best amongst the brahmanas, those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples, and sons. And without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. So this is the This was Srila Prabhupada. Nobody asked him to come to America and tell them about Krishna. And nobody was asking him. He just came, and he was just flowing. The nectar was flowing from his mouth. And whoever caught it, they were benefited in the flow. So they're always kind to their followers, disciples. He didn't even have followers. But whoever was just came and saw him, he was giving that nectar, uninterrupted nectar. Yes. Principles of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. Mission.
They all interact, actually. One is Jivadoya.
Jivadoya, yes.
Vaishnava Seva.
Vaishnava Seva.
And Namruchi.
Namruchi.
So when the three are there, then you can have actual transcendental compassion.
Okay, so you're telling us the qualifications for having compassion, like the pure devotees. And that is embodied in that verse, Trinada Pishuni Chenat, Tarari Vasahishna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Jiva Doya, kindness, compassion to living entities. Vaishnava Seva means serving the Vaishnavas. And the other one was Nam Ruchi, attraction for chanting the holy name. So all these three go together to combine, and what comes out is compassion for Jiva Doya, according to this verse, verse 37. This is an important verse for defeating the Mayavad interpretation of the Chatushloki first verse. Verse 37. Please describe how many dissolutions there are for the elements of material nature and who survives after the dissolutions to serve the Lord while he is asleep. So, how does this disprove the Mayavadi interpretation? In order to disprove it, you have to know what the verse is. Sankirtan does.
Someone survives, so they,
yes.
The Lord and his part and parcels, even after dissolution.
So in the verse it says, I existed before the creation, it is I only who exist during, and it is I only who am present after. So here this supports that the Lord survives. He's asking who survives to serve the Lord. So that means the Lord exists and the servants also exist. And everything, the paraphernalia, if you're going to serve, you have to have place, you have to have paraphernalia, you have to have so many things. So that means the whole spiritual world exists after the dissolution. It's a very significant question by Vidura. And they use this question to defeat this Mayavad interpretation that aham is impersonal. Aham is a person, and he exists with his devotees, with his paraphernalia, even after the dissolution. And this is what Prabhupada is saying in the purport. And he quotes from Kashi Kanda, which was also quoted by Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Shida Shidhar Swami. So all the acharyas are in agreement, and they're all quoting a very wonderful verse, which also proves that the devotees of the Lord never annihilate their individual existences, even after dissolution of the entire cosmic creation. So the Lord is eternal, the devotees are eternal. Actually, everyone's eternal, but those in this world are thinking we are temporary. Muktir hitvanyatarupam. Yes. This is liberation, actually means simply that you give up this form and you take your eternal form. You give up this temporary, anyatarupam. You give up this anyata and you take your real sarup.
That's
2.10.6. Yes, because mukti is one of the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. So after he lists the 10 subject matters, then Shukadeva Goswami defines them. What are these? And mukti is defined as this, that you get your sarup. This is actually mukti. Of course, the Mayavadis, they think, just like we were talking about yesterday, if you have a feverish condition of life, then you think, oh, I'm finished. If I can just get rid of this fever, I'll be okay. And that's what the Mayavadis think. They said, yes, I have a fever. Just get rid of the fever. Then that's bliss. Just merge. But no, actually, after you get rid of the fever, you have your healthy life. You want to get back to your what you're supposed to be doing. So that's devotional service. After liberation, what exists after liberation? And that is bhakti. Bhakti exists after liberation, after death. After death. Some people, they don't even understand what exists after death. But, and the Mayavadis, they don't understand what exists after liberation. And that's bhakti. So that's real mukti. Vimukti, sometimes it's called vimukti. Vimukti. Yes. Mukti pade sadaya bhak. Okay, verse 38. What are the truths regarding the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are their identities? What are specific values in the knowledge in the Vedas? And what are the necessities for the spiritual master and his disciples? So Prabhupada, in his purport, at the end of the purport, he says, that is the sum and substance of all the questions in this verse. So, I'm not going to read the purport. I'm going to see who read it. What is the truth regarding the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is the truth? Shrimati. Okay, so that's more the answer of the Vedas. What are the specific values and knowledge in the Vedas? To retire and then become enlightened, disseminate transcendental knowledge. What about the truth regarding the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madan Gopal? Bhoktaram, yes, exactly, that's what Prabhupada quote. You were thinking that or were you reading it in the... Oh, well, you think just like Prabhupada because that's what he says in the purport. He says here, he paraphrased, actually, 529, the Lord is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend. Yes, he says that right in the purport. That this is the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The truth is, he is the enjoyer, he is the proprietor, he is the friend. And what about us? We're not proprietor, enjoyer, and friend? We are the servant of the enjoyer, the proprietor, and the friend. Yes. We are the enjoyed, we are the owned, and we are also the friend of Krishna. So he's the enjoyer, we are the enjoyed. He is the proprietor, we are what is owned. Yes, we are the tenant. The tenant in the body is described in Bhagavad Gita, purport, 13th chapter, 13.3. Cheta, chapi, sava cheteshu bharata. Yes, that I am the knower of all bodies. I am the knower of all bodies, or the owner of all bodies, also, whichever way you want to look at it. He's the knower, he's the owner, he's the proprietor, and we are the temporary tenant. And our real what's our real identity, then? If we are the tenant, that's what our identity is here. What? Pay the rent. We have to pay the rent, yes. Actually, even he pays the rent. Yes. We have to pay the rent. And if we don't, we get kicked out. And if we do, we get kicked out. If we do or don't, we're damned. Even if we pay the rent, we get kicked out. It's only temporary. It's a lease. And it's up in a certain amount of time. And when the lease is up, you're out. We have a lease on our bodies. Temporary lease.
But if you're good, then
you're... Yes. You can go with the master and enjoy with him higher things. Okay, so our identity is to be servant. Jivasya upoy Krishna nityadas. That is our identity. And when we accept that, then we get our... Prabhupada says, when we accept the proprietorship of the Lord and act in that attitude, again, attitude is important, he resumes his real identity. Attitude is everything. So the necessity of spiritual master and disciple is he's the one that's going to lead us out of this miserable material world. So
actually, isn't it important to be aware why he's the one that's going to lead us out?
Why is the pure devotee the one who's going to lead us out? Because he's beyond. As we said in one class before, that we're in the prison house, and sometimes the governor may send one of his trusted servants to negotiate our release. So the pure devotee is here to negotiate our release from the prison. He's not in prison. He's not within the prison. He's not suffering the rules of the prison. He's not under the rules. But he's here as an ambassador from the governor to negotiate our release. He's beyond the, he's out of prison. He's free. He's free. And we're not. So he comes and tries to get us out. Okay. Thank you. 11:2:28. Okay, it's a verse. Okay, it's a purport of 11:2:28. To negotiate the release of the prisoners. Okay. Verse 39. Values and knowledge of the Vedas. That was the first thing that she said. The values, knowledge in the Vedas, here just Prabhupada just says to disseminate transcendental knowledge. One must retire from mundane activities on the strength of enlightenment and knowledge in terms of Vedic wisdom. So the value is enlightenment, according to the Prabhupada's purport. From Vedas you get enlightenment. That is the value of the Vedas. They enlighten you as to who you are, what is your identity, and who is the Lord, means Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. This is the value of the Vedas. They enlighten us in these truths. Verse 39. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? So here Vidura is again reiterating that without the service of the devotees, just like he said at the beginning of his questions, he's saying the same thing at the end of his questions, that only by the mercy of the pure devotees can we get this knowledge of devotional service and detachment. So I was riding on the train to Bombay, and there was one man sitting next to me in the compartment, and he was saying, well, why should I have an agent between me and God? God is for everyone. Why should I have somebody between me? I can just communicate. He's for me. He said, somebody like ISKCON, why should I have ISKCON between me and God or ISKCON's devotees? Why do I need them? Yes. Devotees will also ask the same question. Yes. And even, actually there was one man on the street who said that to one devotee, that one man said, yes, God speaks to me. I don't need you devotees. God speaks to me. I hear his voice all the time. Then Prabhupada got really angry when the devotee said that. The devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada said, haven't you read Bhagavad Gita? And he said, this person said this to me on the street, that, you know, why, God speaks to me. So Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says who he speaks to. Where is that? Who does he speak to? Yes, and there's a verse. Didami buddhi yogam tam. Who are those people that they're constantly engaged in devotional service? To them I speak. Not to any rascal, yeah. Guru Sharu Shastra and Super Soul. Right. So it is a stage of, it is a level of devotional service that you will actually be able to communicate with Super Soul. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, there are many inexperienced persons who advocate self-realization without the help of a spiritual master. Many New Age groups, you are your own master, you are your own guru. They decry the necessity of the spiritual master and try themselves to take his place by propagating the theory that a spiritual master is not necessary. Srimad Bhagavatam, however, does not approve this viewpoint. Even the great transcendental scholar Vyasadev had need of a spiritual master, and he wrote Bhagavatam under the instruction Prabhupada said. Who else had a spiritual master? Lord Chaitanya had a spiritual master. Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, what did his guru chastised him even? His guru chastised Lord Chaitanya, you are a fool. He said, well, you think you know Vedanta, you just chant Hare Krishna. Don't worry about Vedanta. Don't waste your time with Vedanta. You just chant Hare Krishna. So this is, he even chastises Lord Chaitanya. Amazing. So anyway, he says, you don't have the qualification to study Vedanta. Told that to Lord Chaitanya. Where is your qualification? And Lord Chaitanya was so qualified in his youth. He was defeating everybody, all the scholars. But still, he gave the example that in this age of Kali, nobody is qualified, actually, to study Veda Vedanta. We have to chant the holy name of the Lord, and that's the only way. Yes. Yes. You have to, if you want to understand Vedanta, it's through Bhagavatam because it's a commentary by the author himself. Mm-hmm. The author wrote Vedanta, Vyasadeva wrote Vedanta, and then he wrote his commentary. So that's why we study Bhagavatam. We can understand all the conclusions of Vedanta just by studying Bhagavatam. Six Goswamis in the end of the purport. Yes, actually. That's at the end of the purport. Pure devotees have prepared many books of knowledge on the basis of authorized scriptures. Sri Rupa Goswami and his assistants, under the instructions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have all written various literatures for the guidance of prospective devotees and anyone who is very serious about raising himself to the standard of a pure devotee of the Lord must take advantage of those literatures. Sankirtan Das. Yeah, I mean, there's Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So all three are together. It's not that you, if you take shelter of the spiritual master, you don't need the Shastra. There's some people think that way. Everything is necessary. Guru is necessary, Shastra is necessary, and Sadhu is necessary, all three. So not that we should think that, okay, I'm just taking shelter of the spiritual master, I don't have to study or whatever. Though it may be true in some cases. If the guru gives you that instruction, that, okay, you just do this seva. Suppose you're illiterate, or if you're, you know, you have some problem there. So he may give you that instruction, so then it's all right. But then you should have the same realizations as a person who is actually studying the Shastra, if you're faithful to the order of your spiritual master. But if you don't, then you also better read the books. And generally they will tell you to read the books also, all the books, yes. Yeah, this is checks and balances. This is our system of checks and balances. As she was saying, when you hear from Super Soul, you have your checks and balances, and that's Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But they also, they check each other. The Shastra is the basis, and whatever the Guru says is in Shastra. And whatever the Sadhu says or does, and the Guru says and does, is according to Shastra. And so they actually follow each other. That's right. Well, there's many different misconceptions. A person who thinks Guru is everything and I don't need anything else. Many, many misconceptions. And one misconception is that I don't need Shastra. And then another thing that can happen is you may commit offenses to other. My Guru is good and all the others are useless. You know, so many offenses can arise. Mine is the special avatar that we got the special mercy. Okay, so if you want to read more about it, you can read the book by Madhavananda.
That's an article.
Or article,
yes,
okay.
Issues, regular issues.
Haribo, we welcome Adi Purusha back. Are you coming back? Or are you just peeking?
No,
oh, okay. Yes.
Person made Adi saying it's all in Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
Guru is there.
Okay.
Generator
is not working today. I hope tomorrow it works because every day the electricity goes off at this time. It won't help. Okay. He went 10 minutes ago and the generator is not responding. So hopefully tomorrow it will respond because we're going to have a change of time. And it goes off every day at the same time. Yes.
I think it's also part of nonsense.
Yes. Misuse, there's shastric integrity.
Yeah. Okay.
You can misquote and...
Yeah. Central behavior in that too.
Yeah.
Sometimes we use them to
reinforce. But there is a danger. I told this story in my class last year. There was a person who got Prabhupada's book on Haribo. So there's a person who got Prabhupada's books on Sankirtan, and the devotee just gave him the books and no explanation. He took the books, and for 1 year he was reading Bhagavad Gita. He was offering his food. Because it said, offer your food. He was chanting Hare Krishna. So every day he would very faithfully offer his food to a picture. And as soon as the offering was finished, he would throw the offering out the window. So he reasoned that it says in the Gita that God eats. So if he eats, it must not be there. So therefore he threw it out the window. So he threw it out the window, the food, yes. He would scrape off. He's a different person, actually. So another person thought it's the remnants. So he threw away the prasad and he would scrape the bowl and eat that. So, and this person that I'm talking about, it's another one. It's not Devamrita. It's another person who is actually also in Vrindavan. One of our dear friends, he was in Bhakti Shastri. And he told the story. So he said, then the first day he went to the temple and saw the devotees. He walked in the door and they offered him a plate of prasadam. And he just like thought, oh, what have I been doing, you know? So this is an example of only the books without sadhu and guru. Yeah, what can happen? This can happen, and it happened in two cases, actually. Of course, books are everything, but we also need examples, living examples, sadhus. Yes, Shrimati.
The other thing,
Kapila's teachings. You have to have the example. You have to have the example of a person who's actually living what it says in the books. Otherwise, you're going to get confused. Nishinga Devi. Oh. Okay, so here's an example of someone who committed suicide because he just took the books. Of course, he was living in the temple. He should have, you know, asked someone. But instead, he just misunderstood the books, saying that if you're not qualified, then you're not allowed to live in the Dham. So he hung himself. And so anyway, these are crazy examples. But we'll continue with our verses. We're going to finish this chapter today. Verse 40, no matter what. My dear sage, I have put all these questions before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the friend of all. So kindly describe them for all those who have lost their vision. So this is the purpose of all Vidura's questions. Hare, karma, vivitsaya. To hear the pastimes of Hari. This is the purpose. Even the ones about Varnashram and the ones about Dharmartha Kama Moksha. This is the purpose. 41. O spotless one, your answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. Such charity is greater than all Vedic charity, sacrifices, penances, etc. So here in the verse, Veda, Yajna, Tapa, Dana, all these things cannot compare to even one kala of devotional service. So why is devotion, why can it compare to Veda, Yajna, Tapa, Dana? Why can it compare to any of these things? This is what this verse is saying here. What's so special? Yeah.
It's transcendental.
The other things, they stay in this material world. They don't go out of this material world. But bhakti is transcendental. Yes. Yes.
Whatever results of the other path will become relevant.
Yes, whatever results you get from all these other things, automatically you get just by performing devotional service to Lord Krishna. So this is the reason. Verse 42. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, thus the chief of the sages, who is always enthusiastic about describing topics regarding the personality of Godhead, began to narrate the descriptive explanation of the Puranas being so infused by Vidura. He was very much enlivened by speaking on the transcendental activities of the Lord. So now we're going to hear all the answers to all these questions of Vidura. Here in the Sanskrit, Vidura is described as Guru Pradhanena. Maitreya is described as Muni Pradhana. So they're both the best. They're the best. One's the best of the Krus, one's the best of the Munis. And they're going to discuss Shastra. So we're very fortunate to be in their company and their association, overhearing their conversation. And just by hearing their conversation, we'll become free of all our miseries and get transcendental knowledge. So there's any questions or comments on today's discussions and verses? Srimati. 17. Okay, the question is, verse 17, describing the Paramahansas, transcendental to all intelligence. So that's Bhuti Param, Bhute Param. So we look at the Sanskrit, and Prabhupada, we have to see the purport also if we want to understand what this means. Those who are liberated, situated in the transcendental position above intelligence, are really happy and are called Paramahansas. So that's all Prabhupada says here. When I think of this, I recall Prabhupada's lecture on the Maha Mantra, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he's saying it's not a matter of mind or intelligence. It's beyond intelligence. So, of course, it can mean an impersonalist, because Prabhupada does sometimes admit that the impersonalists are also transcendental. Sometimes he will admit that, but usually he doesn't. Very rarely you'll find that he says, yes, they are also transcendentalists. But most of the time, the real meaning of Paramahansa is, actually, if you go to the beginning of Bhagavatam, then this, again, the second verse, who are these Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam? That they are the devotees of the Lord, because mukti is rejected, this goal. Yeah, we're talking about devotees, Nirmat Saranam, those who are freed from envy. So that's the highest, that's Uttam, according to Nectar of Instruction. One who is free from envy, who doesn't criticize others, he is a pure devotee. So yes, Bhagavatam, actually we can also, you can research also the purport to verse 2. Prabhupada talks about who is the Paramahansa. 112. The first, second verse of the Bhagavatam. He's saying that even if you're not Paramahansa, you can raise yourself to that stage simply by attentively and agreeing to accept the message of Bhagavatam. Just by agreeing to accept the message, you can become Paramahansa.
Yeah, it's just transcendental, like,
all intelligence.
Mundane. Yeah.
Mundane intelligence. So the holy name, that's my first thought. The Prophet says the holy name, it's not a matter of intelligence. It's beyond intelligence. It's beyond that level. He says there's different levels. Level of intelligence. It's beyond the level of intelligence. So devotional service, again. If we're reading Bhagavatam, the answer is bhakti, wherever you look. And we heard it already today. We heard it yesterday that bhakti is the answer. The pure devotee gives bhakti. Okay, any other questions? Sankirtan Das.
23.
Yes, yes. We learned this. We are reviewing. Yes. You know what that is. The three. There's the one, the ten, and the three. So the three kinds of. What the three was, the three conceptions, adi atmik, adi bhautik, adi daivik. Although here they say life vigor, so it's very confusing, because generally life means prana, the ten kinds of prana. But so sometimes it's not so clear, but if you remember the verses in the sixth chapter, it was 1, 10, and 3. 1 was consciousness, 10 was life affairs, and 3 was those three conceptions, adi atmik, adi bhautik, adi daivik conceptions that we have. Yeah, anything else, Mayan Gopal? Prabhu? 18 or 19?
18.
18, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, now your question is, who is in a better position? One who is like a fool, one who fulfills his desires, material desires, you're saying. Any?
Yeah.
What? I don't understand that person. Okay. Okay. So there's two kinds of people. One who fulfills his desires, and one who thinks, oh, it would have been so nice if I could have fulfilled my desires. Yes. Okay, so he's saying there is no such person as your first type. Okay, so he doesn't agree. Okay, desires are like fire and you put fuel in it. But actually it says the fools, they think, they're actually thinking that they fulfilled their desires. The hogs, the mudhas, they think, yes, I'm actually happy. I'm fulfilling my desires. Yes? I mean, there are people who think they are actually getting what they desire in this world. Yes.
Krishna is actually given vanashram.
Vanashram.
Platform.
Okay, we can't make advancement from the artificial platform.
So we have to be always realistic with spiritual master.
We have to realistically assess our position and act from our real position within the modes.
Because then we can
And then we can actually go forward. And the example is the crocodile and Gajendra. Prabhupada says in that purport, it's better if you're, you know, married. He's giving example of a sannyasi who fell down. He said, better you continue the fight. Don't give up the fight. But from the position where you can fight. So he was telling me, bika rihasta, and then fight maya, but don't just go away and give up the fight. So that was Prabhupada's, yes, Dipyambar? Are better. Okay, she votes for those who have fulfilled their desires are better. Because actually...
Because they end up frustrated.
Okay, we should all join Rajneesh. Yes, Daksha says that. Rajneesh says that. First you must enjoy or else you can't renounce. First you must get frustrated with so much enjoyment. And then you can actually renounce after you have enjoyed. And this is what the Indians say. How can I become devotee if I haven't gone to America and enjoyed first? You guys, you came from the West. You already enjoyed and now you can renounce. But we didn't enjoy yet, so we have to first go through that part. And then we can renounce. Yes. Well, actually, yeah, I was thinking about that too. The second class, they're dreamers. They're in the mode of ignorance. Either they're lamenting or they're dreaming. So better the one in the mode of passion, who's actually fulfilling his unlimited hankerings. There's those who just dream and don't do anything. Lament. In ignorance. Right. Dharmartha kama moksha. And to progress, yes. Dharmartha kama moksha is to fulfill your desires and progress. And Prabhupada also preached that when he first came to America, that you just remain in your position but just chant. And you don't give up. Of course, we didn't have anything to give up. We didn't have any. The hippies had already given up everything, all their work. They've already renounced their work. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pritya Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. So already the first part was there. They'd already given up all dharma. That was not a problem. They said, just surrender to me. So then they could surrender. Because they had already given up all. In India, it's very difficult because they all have very definite ideas of dharma. What is dharma? What is my duty? Whereas in the West, we had no conception. Mahavindra Puri.
There is this quote in
3.15. Yes. And Prabhupada also said this, we read this in the creation, purpose of creation. You can enjoy, satisfy your perverted desires, and make progress on the path. The only problem is in this age of Kali Yuga, there's no time to follow this. It's a very gradual path of Varnashram. So therefore, there's only one way, and that's Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Whoever you are, whoever you may be, you just chant. Whoever, whatever situation you're in Varnashram or whatever, if you have no Varnashram, if you have Varnashram, you just chant Hare Krishna, and you make progress. That's why Prabhupada had to, he took the message of Lord Chaitanya, which is for Kali Yuga. Therefore, if we artificially also try to adopt Varnashram in an artificial way, it's also won't work either. Forcing people that you are this, you are that, it won't work. But we just have to remain who we are. But as she said, be introspective, find out who we actually are in the modes. And if we try to be something that we're not, of course we're going to get disappointed and frustrated. But anyway, do it for Krishna. We try to... Yes, Adi Purusha. The what stage? Oh, the enjoyment stage, and have developed attachment. Yes, okay, it's a very interesting point. Some people have gone through the stage of enjoyment and have become frustrated and detached. And some have not gone through. They just continue enjoying. They don't come to the point of detachment. So what's your question? What's the difference between the two? Why does one give it up and why does one become frustrated and the other one doesn't? Yes, Mahavindra Puri.
Because of Chaitanya.
Yes.
Obviously,
need a higher taste. Lila Shuka, do you have something to say?
Can we also avert?
Yes, when we have frustration, the result can be aversion also. Yeah, you can have a negative. This can have so many people, yes. Yeah, so it can have the opposite result when you have frustration. Yes, Sankirtan.
It seems like the key element is association.
Key element is association. Is that what you were going to say? Okay, association is a key element. Also, I'm remembering from First Canto, Prabhupada is saying that along with Shravanam Kirtanam, we have to also take attention to get rid of our anarthas. Two things we have to do. There's positive and there's negative. So positively, we cultivate chanting and hearing. And also negatively, we try to uproot the anarthas. We try to work on that by avoiding the offenses to chanting the holy name. These are very positive because even in Shravanam Kirtanam, we can cultivate weeds. So we see devotees, they're not so much materially attached, but they can also fall down because they cultivate the weeds instead of the creeper. And they mistake the weed, the weed for the creeper. They think, this is my seva, this weed. Yes, Sankirtanas. Yes, it doesn't stop. It doesn't end. Yeah. Yes. There is a spiritual hunger of the soul. So that will not be satisfied. And then, and we misplace, we misidentify. We think, no, no, it's this I need. But actually, it's Krishna we need. But we're thinking, no, no, it's that person or this car or this house or this money. This will make me happy. So we're misplacing our actual, and then they're not satisfied because the soul is not satisfied. As long as we have this body, yeah. Madam Gopal, more arguments. Oh, okay. You surrender. All right. Yes. Yes, you need some humility. Okay. The advice of Mahavishnu Maharaj, we should be satisfied in three things. Whatever occupation you have, whatever spouse you have, or situation, or if you're not married, to be satisfied with that. Whatever food you have. And if you're satisfied in these three things, then? Okay, three things you should be satisfied. Now we're talking about the things you should never be satisfied with. All right? Advice from a very learned elderly gentleman. You should never be satisfied with how much time you spend studying the Shastra, chanting the holy name, and serving the devotees. Okay, Jiva Doya, Vaishnava Seva, and Namaruchi. Okay, the same thing. Yes, the sadhus agree. There is agreement among the sadhus. So we should take this advice to heart, that never be satisfied with studying Shastra, chanting the holy name, and serving Vaishnavas. Yes. Okay, that's just what Vidura said here. He says, I'm convinced if I just serve your lotus feet, I'll get free from my misconceptions. So she's saying if we associate with the pure devotees, we'll get change of heart. That's just what Vidura is saying. That I'm convinced if I just get your association, I will be free from all these misconceptions. So we're going to get the same association, Maitreya, that Vidura is getting. So we'll also become free from all misconceptions. By the end, so this is the objective, by the end of this course, we should become freed from all misconceptions. Yes. He wants to hear about Krishna. That was the last. Yeah, of course. So we have misconceptions in all these areas, how they're not related to Krishna. We think how we can do it without Krishna, how we can do Veda, how we can study the scripture, how we can do yajna, how we can do charity, everything without Krishna. So Vidura, he's connecting it to Krishna. This Hare Karma Vivitsaya. Yes, Prashanta. Second Chatushloki. Yes, of course. Yes, a reflection is the light and shadow. Yes. Yes, the same word. So verse 18 is related to the second Chatushloki. We can find he's expanding on these verses. And we heard that yesterday also about the second Chatushloki. It's like a reflection. The moon is reflected on the water. So in the purport of the second verse, Prabhupada was talking how the reflection of light and darkness. How to give up the false idea. Mm-hmm. By serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Okay, any other questions or comments on today's verses? Yes? No? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.